Amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. And I invite you to look in your worship folder and find a copy of the outline for the message this morning. My hope and prayer in preparing them each week is to give you an opportunity to really get engaged with God's Word and ask God through the Holy Spirit to make it applicable in your life. The question we're looking at for this spring series is, are you puzzled about your place of service? Last week, we began this series by looking at the great story Jesus told about a man beat up by highway robbers and rescued by a man we simply know as the Good Samaritan. And in that story, we saw the heart of Christian service. This morning, I want to continue in this series, which I've entitled Living Beyond Myself. Pretty countercultural in the 21st century. Living beyond myself, turning passion into mission. Dr. Bill Hybels from the Willow Creek Church in Chicago is one of the great evangelical leaders of our day, and he has written, "Few things get my heart racing like seeing people learn to live beyond themselves." Why? Because Scripture is clear that soul-level satisfaction comes from reflecting the person of Jesus Christ. And there is no clearer reflection of Christ than one person serving another. That really is true. To this great statement, I say a hearty amen. Or if you're Southern, amen. Or if you want to say it correctly from Greek, amen. In fact, I'd like to speak a little Greek. I only have two chances to speak Greek today, so help me say it. Amen. Amen. Well, you're not convinced, but that really is the way to say it. In this message series, it is my passion to help you discover your shape for ministry. And we define shape this way: discovering your spiritual gift or gifts, revealing your heart, that is, that which stirs you, your passion for serving, taking into account your God-given abilities, your God-given personality, and the experiences of your life, both good and bad, as all of the forces that help shape you into the unique person you are, the person God wants to use. Then once you discover your shape, I want to challenge you to put your shape into action. And on March 27th, we're going to have a ministry fair in the life of our church, a ministry catalog, giving you an opportunity to fit your shape into one of the many ministry outreaches of our great church. And all of this is with the singular hope that by the end of March, if you've never said this in your life, you will be able to finally say with everything in me, "Thank you, God. This is what I was made for." I just want to stop and say that statement again. This is what I was made for. Let's do a little self-diagnosis. Can you say that question? Can you answer that question? Can you make that statement with certainty in your life? I'm convinced there is no greater freeing spiritual experience than to say, "This is what I was made for." And that's our goal in this series. Three things that I'd like you to notice this morning from the Word of God. Three truths upon which we build our theology of serving. And the first is this: Christ died to offer me abundant life. John 10:10. Do you have that marked in your Bibles? In fact, open your Bibles with me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 10, verse 10. John 10:10, Jesus said, "I came that they may have life," and then he adds a qualifier there, and I particularly like the way the New American Standard puts it, "and have it," that life, "abundantly." Now, some of your translations say, "have life to the full," and that's okay, but I really like the word "abundantly." And in the Greek text, the word "abundant" or "abundantly" means superior, above the rank and file of the average. That Greek word means beyond measure. Jesus died not only to set you free from your sins, not only to purchase a place for you in heaven, but to give you a here and now experience that is above the average. Did you know that? Have you claimed it for yourself? Now, I want to play third grade Sunday school with you for just a minute. And right there in the middle of your outline is a statement that I want you to fill in. For me, Jesus said, I came that John may have life and have it abundantly. I want you to write that in. I want you to fill in your own name there. And I'm not playing with you. I'm not being silly. But the heart of Christian service, the passion for ministry comes when we realize we are not an accident. We are not an afterthought. We are not a confusing anomaly on the graph. That we were created with purpose, and Jesus died that your life be marked with living on tiptoe above the average. Well, if it's true that Christ died to offer me abundant life, then we've got to understand what that abundance really is. And to set up this conversation, I want to define what abundance is not. I want to define for you what an abundant life is not. And be prepared, this is going to be really countercultural to 21st century me-centered consumerism. What is the abundant life not? How can I choose to live beyond myself? King Solomon of the Old Testament is oftentimes regarded as the wisest man in the Bible. In many ways, he had everything, and in many ways, he had no thing. He had nothing to show for it. A quick reading of the book of Ecclesiastes reveals something of the life of King Solomon. For instance, you'll notice in Ecclesiastes that King Solomon tried to find abundant life by accumulating a vast sum of money. He did it, only to discover, however, that it didn't provide the meaning for which he hoped. It provided a lot of stuff, but please don't be confused between stuff and meaning. Well, that didn't work, so he decided he would go after power. I mean, he was anointed king, you know? He's the number one guy. They sang a song to him when he came in. Trumpets blared and people bowed when he came in. I mean, he had power and position and authority, only to discover that for all he had attained, power failed to satisfy. Then came a series of scandalous pursuits of physical pleasure, then fame and celebrity. I mean, we've named it all in our modern culture, right? Money and position and fame and celebrity. But how does Solomon sum up the experience of his life? Well, thankfully, you're in John 10:10. May I hear a whole lot of pages turning as you go back to the Old Testament portion of your Bible, to the book of Ecclesiastes. Hey, you don't know where it is? God gave you a table of content. And if you have a really nifty Bible, you may even have it thumb indexed. The abbreviation for Ecclesiastes is ECC. Would you find the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament? And I want you to hear from the heart of a man who had, by worldly standards, everything, but in effect had nothing. From Ecclesiastes chapter 2, selected verses from verses 10 and 11. King Solomon said about himself, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, get these words, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I wonder, are you at a place in life where you can sort of resonate with something with what King Solomon meant? I mean, you really have been chasing after the things that are really supposed to satisfy. Stuff is supposed to satisfy, right? Now be honest with me. Say right. Say amen. and titles and position and power. Now that's supposed to grant real self-worth, right? And the pursuit of any kind of pleasure, you know, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, we rationalize. You know, that's supposed to really turn us on and make us feel good about who we are, right? Then why are we the most divorce-ridden, medicated, addicted, fantasy-oriented society that we are today? Why? If all that stuff works, then why are we such an addictive society? Because here's the truth of God's Word. All that stuff is like a chasing after the wind. Here's what I'd like you to begin to internalize today and struggle with me for the next few weeks. God did not intend you to be a wind chaser. He intended you to be a world changer. Now, you can think of the world in the global sense. I tend to think of the world in the sense of a person or a group of people that God has granted me access to, into whom I can speak a word of hope, a word of faith, a word of healing, a word of reconciliation, a word of real meaning in life. God did not intend for you to waste your time being a wind chaser. It'll wear you out. Somebody say amen. It'll wear you out and leave you feeling terribly empty. God wants to wear you out being a world changer. And when you go to bed at night, you can say, Lord, I am worn out, but thank you. This is what I was made for. Again, Bill Hybels, in his marvelous book, The Volunteer Revolution. The desire to be a world changer is planted in the heart of every human being. And that desire comes directly from the heart of God. We can suffocate that desire in selfishness, silence it with chatter and competing demands, or bypass it on the fast track of personal achievement. But it's still there. Whenever we wonder if the daily 8-to-5 grind or our round-the-clock parenting tasks are all there is to life, that divine desire nudges us. Whenever we feel restless and unsatisfied, somebody say amen to restless and unsatisfied. Let me hear it. That really is the rampant disease of our time. Restless and unsatisfied. Whenever we feel restless and unsatisfied, the desire whispers in our soul. Whenever we wonder what a life of real purpose would feel like, the desire calls us to something more. God's calling you not to be a wind chaser, but to a world changer. Where do we begin? Now, this is where Jesus gets real countercultural on us. This is where Jesus challenges everything the modern message teaches us. If you reduce the modern message that we hear today, I believe you can reduce it to three letters, G-E-T. Right? What's that word, G-E-T? Get! You know, look out for number one. Do unto others before they do it unto you. Right? It's all about me. We just endured the Oscars. Dumb. It's all about me, right? Jesus turns all that upside down and says, the essence of a fulfilling life is not G-E-T, but it is G-I-V-E. It is not defined by what we get, but rather by what we give that makes all the difference. Well, we've gone from John 10:10 to Ecclesiastes 2. Now to the text for the day. Would you return to the New Testament with me to Mark chapter 8? We're going to dig in for just a moment to verses 34, 35, and 36. Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, now let's jump to verse 35. We'll come back to the rest of 34 in a minute. But let's jump to verse 35. Are you with me? Do I hear pages turning? for whoever wants to save their life, hold, will lose it. But whoever loses their life, whoever is willing to give it away, for me and for the sake of the gospel, will save it. Here's the eternal truth from the heart of God. Real life, abundant life comes when you care more about serving others than serving yourself. Ooh. That's not a very good marketing strategy, is it? That's not going to sell a lot of gadgets and widgets and worthless stuff we don't need. Has anybody yet discovered that that really is the truth of God? Real fulfillment, real life, real abundance comes when we care more about serving others than serving ourselves. Well, if it's true that Christ died to offer me abundant life, and if it's also true that we must choose to live beyond ourselves, then on the back of the outline this morning, I'd like to challenge you to take the great serving challenge. Look again in verse 34, Mark 8, 34. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must note a couple of things. Well, the first, I can hardly read the next two words. I mean, nobody actually believes this, do they? Whoever wants to be my disciple must, what does Jesus say? Deny themselves? Wait a minute, I'm the center of my universe. I'm the definition of my reality. What do you mean, deny me? I don't know about you, but when I was in the throes of the terrible twos, my favorite word was me. My favorite word was mine. That's kind of cute, then it becomes real annoying at 2. But it becomes absolutely debilitating at 22 or 32 or 42 or 82. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus speaks into our modern culture and unapologetically says, if you want the real abundance for which I died on the cross of Calvary, then your life will be marked by choice, by acts of kindness and service. It's as though Jesus is saying to us, I want kindness and service to be the distinctive characteristic, the defining quality of the people who are marked by my name. It's as though Jesus is saying, I am asking for my followers to live beyond themselves. Have you found how easy it is to be all wrapped up in the petty concerns of your own stuff, your own turf, your own acquisitions, your own wants, your own desires? There's someone in popular culture for whom I'm really struggling right now. Many of you laugh at him, but my heart hurts for him. A man who, like Solomon, has had the benefit of everything that the world could give. He's a good-looking guy. Paid more in the media for his television appearances than anybody else. Fame and fortune and all the rest. And his life is an empty shell. It's a wreck. You know his name, don't you? Charlie Sheen. God help him. God fill the void of that man's soul. It annoys me, it worries me to see the number of people, even in my own life, that have copped a Charlie Sheen. They've really been given so much, but they're so caught up in the me syndrome. Jesus said, deny yourself. Swallow hard, but that's what he said, deny yourself. That means let go of your own need to be the center of your universe. You're not 2 years old anymore. Jesus said, take up your cross. What does the cross signify to most of us? A sacrifice, right? A giving beyond what is ordinarily required. Yes, a sacrifice. Sacrifice your own resources for the sake of serving others. Follow Him. Trust Christ to give you that for which you so desperately long. And what is that? The extraordinary life of real meaning that He has in store for you. Let's be honest, or at least allow me to be honest. Jesus is in the specialty business of taking ordinary people and transforming them into extraordinary people. Last night in our sanctuary, we saw a live performance of James, as in Peter, James, and John. It's a marvelous first-person monologue. And the actor last night, Clyde Annandale, reminded us that Jesus took a bunch of fishermen and changed their focus in life to become fishers of men. Their talents, their abilities used for an extraordinary purpose. My goal, my passion in this series is to help you see that God has shaped you uniquely for a purpose beyond yourself. And if you're willing to take the great serving challenge with me over the next 4 weeks and then live into a ministry for the next 6 months, I believe that you will be granted God's gracious gift of being able to say, this is what I was made for. And that will make all the difference. Are you ready to begin the journey? Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, do what? Three things. Deny yourself. Okay. Take up your cross of meaningful sacrifice. And follow me. Now, you and I need food for the journey, for this unique spiritual journey. And we in the evangelical Methodist tradition believe that that food comes in part through the sacrament of Holy Communion, actually inviting into our lives the very grace of God through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. As you think this morning about your place of service, as you open your heart this morning to God's call to discovering your shape, I ask you to come forward into God's presence with your hands extended, saying, Lord, I know there's something missing. Lord, I know there's something more for me, and I believe that can only be found in Jesus. And Lord, I'm ready to be able to say, this is what I was made for. Before we can approach God, we have to be honest with our own condition. So I'd like first to enter into a quiet time of confession. God, I've bought the 21st century line. God, I thought that my definition would come in terms of what I get. God, I am still a two-year-old, awfully self-consumed. Would you quietly spend a moment in God's presence in preparation? Asking for His light and His love, His forgiveness and His power to break into your life right now. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and seek to grow into His likeness. Let us therefore draw near with faith, make our humble confession, and prepare to receive this holy sacrament. Let us pray together the prayer of confession found on the screen, saying, we do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own goodness, but in your unfailing mercies. We are not worthy that you should receive us, but give your word and we shall be healed through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hey, hear the good news. From the heart of God through the pen of St. John, if we confess our sins, God, who is just and faithful, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that? Somebody say amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Our brothers and sisters, it is with great delight that I declare to you, based on the authority of the Word of God and my office as a minister in His church, that you and I are forgiven people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, prepared now to enter the presence of God. Would you find with me the Liturgy for Holy Communion in your worship folder and join me as we gather together in this celebration of the goodness of God. Because of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, I can say to you with great joy, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Therefore, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity and made covenant to be our sovereign God and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and with all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, holy, holy God, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and salvation. In his baptism and in table fellowship, he took his place with sinners. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ, offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. In the breaking of the bread, we are reminded of God's commitment to us through Jesus Christ. Hundreds of years before His coming, the prophet Isaiah foretold the ministry of the suffering servant. Listen how this prophecy is perfectly fulfilled in the risen Lord. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment for our peace was upon Him. And don't miss these words. And by His stripes, what? We are healed. In the breaking of the bread, in the receiving of the blood of Christ, my great prayer is that your two-year-old tantrum will be healed. Your me, my, and mine syndrome will be overcome. And that you will find that it is in giving, truly, that you receive. Hallelujah. St. Paul said, Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah. I invite you to join me in speaking this ancient hymn of praise as we say, O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. And it is the peace of God that passes all understanding at this holy table today. I invite you to come forward, receive just a dollop of hand sanitizer, since we do share together in a common cup. Then with hands extended and prepared to receive a consecrated piece of unleavened bread from Reverend Andrew. No, from me, actually. And then ever so reverently dip it into the chalice, allowing these holy, gracious tokens to mingle together and truly by faith become for you the body and blood of Christ, the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation for you. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit. How? To give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we prepare to conclude the service this morning, I'd like you to get your connection card out again, because I'd really like to challenge you to join me in this journey by basing this journey of service on Jesus' word. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. You'll notice on the back of the connection card, I made a mistake. Aren't you glad when I make mistakes? I already had somebody circle it at the early service and slip it under my door. I made a mistake. Change Romans 8, 25 to Romans 8, 35, where Jesus said, For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. On the bottom of the card is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me. You know, on Tuesdays, I dedicate some time before the cross interceding for the needs of this great congregation, and I would be honored to pray with you. Now, a closing thought as you fill out your card. You're using a pen, right? You're using something to write with. In my heart, one of the greatest servants ever in the name of Jesus Christ was a diminutive little Romanian woman called to serve Jesus on the streets of Calcutta, India. Her name, Mother Teresa. She summarized the incredible impact she had on the lives of others. Yes, indeed, even the lives of the world, by simply saying of herself, now get this, I am just a pencil in the hand of God. And oh, what she wrote with the pencil of her life. Here's the question I want you to lie awake thinking about. Great God, what message would you have me write with the pencil of my life? Great God, what message would you have me write with the pencil that is my life? As the music plays, I invite you not only to prepare your connection card, simply fold it over, but also prepare your morning offering. Thank you for your faithfulness in enabling the ministry of this church. Thank you for sharing your declaration in a tangible way that I am going to put God first in my life. In just a moment, as the offering baskets come by, I invite you to drop in your connection card. I also invite you to drop in your offering. And because I don't want to rush the end of worship, would you allow me to pronounce the benediction now, and then as the music plays, to simply spend a few moments really considering what God would have you do in your life. May I do that? Then receive the benediction. God's good word for your life. And the seal and the sign of our sure salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace. Perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.